To have a good harvest, one must plant good seeds and must also use the right kind of fertilizer. The carrots have grown large and firm. How good they will taste.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Backyard Gardens podcast. And I'm speaking specifically to all you gardeners and homesteaders out there. Thank you so much for joining us as we embark on a mission to get to spring. You know what? I think, Batavia, at this point, it's already planting season, don't you, to some extent?
I mean, that's what we've been saying for the last 2 months, so it better be planting season.
Planting.
Oh, here we go again.
I know.
P-L-A-N-T.
I remember we did that in the titles, and people were like, is that a code? I'm like, no, it's just because we can't understand what we're saying. But it's, I think it's almost across the entire country. We should be getting, if you're not planting at this point, should be getting very close. And we want to focus on something that I love and hate. That's containers. Can be just very, I have a very mixed relationship with them.
I know you do.
Yeah. You know me too well. That freaks me out. But what I do want to say before we get started, everybody, is we have opened up our seed store on Etsy, which is where it's at for right now. You can get a link below if you want to check that out and to help support the show. Get yourself some seeds. They're all direct sowable and they're handpicked by us by varieties that we have grown and love in our gardens. So check it out, everybody. We'd be glad to send you some seeds. And if they go well this year and everybody buys seeds, not everybody, but you know what I mean, we will expand into all the other tomatoes and peppers and stuff like that. But this is a very measured approach. So thank you, everybody, for your support. And also become a subscriber or a patron if you'd like as well. Link is below, or you can find it through your podcast app. Okay, now that that's out of the way, I feel like I get out of breath easily when I do that these days. What does that say? Containers. I don't know. What is your thoughts about containers in the spring?
So I think that spring, fall, summer, that's the order that I believe containers are the most successful in the garden.
In your garden?
In the garden.
Oh, you're making a broad statement.
A broad statement for anyone that has.
This is not like you.
I know it isn't. We talked about this the other day. This is not new year, new me, but I'm taking a step out there.
Oh, my.
Not sure how long it's going to last. Let's move on to the next subject before I start backtracking. No, yeah. I mean, I think that, and I can, as we chat here, I can explain why, but I think spring, you'll get the most success out of your containers. Fall is the next time. There's a theme there, clearly. And then summer, you can't have success, but I put that, because if I have to order them, as the third most successful time out of three successful times. And I think it's just basically the coolness. So the broad statement is for anyone that experiences cool weather in spring, cool weather in fall, and their hottest weather in summer.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with you, but I'm going to have to think about it for about 5 minutes while we do the show, and we'll have to revisit it because I need to reevaluate everything.
And speaking of, again, what we talked about, and I don't normally do, I'm right.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. I like this new Batavia.
No, we're not crowning her new Batavia yet.
Yeah. Oh, I just did because this is old Ben. The one thing I will say, though, I'm not totally sold on your matter of fact statement that you made. But one thing I will say is that spring containers are not as sexy as summer containers. They're just lower grown plants. You know what I mean? It's just not like, wow, look at what you got. So
is it to me, are you being influenced by the idea of like all of the flowers that pour out of containers? Is that mixed into your thought there? Think about the beautiful flower arrangements in the summer.
No, this is, like I said earlier, this is old Ben. That doesn't affect me. I'm talking about like a tall tomato plant hanging out of a container or something like that. You
I
know?
Think it's the flowers. You just don't realize it. No, I'm joking about that part.
Oh, here we go. Okay, I take back my statement about New Batavia, everybody. No. Yeah, so that's really kind of where I stand. But I do agree that spring is a lot better time for me to grow in. But there's not, I can't just grow anything in them. Or yeah. I can, but some things just don't do as well.
Agreed. I mean, I think some things do better. A flip of the same statement. Yep.
So I guess we're going to kind of focus on, well, unlike the last episode, we're going to try and stay like right on track. And we're going to try and focus on what is really what we think the best container vegetables are for spring. Have you tried a lot of different spring vegetables?
I have.
In containers?
Oh,
what have you tried?
I have. So I've tried carrots, lettuce. I've tried bok choy, kale. I've tried mustards. I've tried spinach. I'm sure I said lettuce already.
Yeah.
I've tried cabbage.
We all know that you've tried lettuce in there.
Well,
it's like my bonsai. If you talk about lettuce in containers anymore, I'll take a shot.
Yeah.
And I don't even drink. So that's the...
It's a go-to.
So, carrots, huh? I remember you doing that now. Mm-hmm. I'm having flashbacks. How
I've
did you like
them
that?
Since then, and yeah, I've tried them.
Okay, so we'll leave it there for right now. Yeah, so my biggest, I've tried almost everything in containers that I grow in the fall, except for carrots. So those are the only ones I haven't tried. So across the board, I have dabbled in a lot of them. I can't think of anything. I haven't done rutabaga in there either.
Mm-hmm.
Son of a billy goat's bottom. There we go. That's fall. Mm-hmm. I like it, everybody. So, you know.
So you're trying, that's you're talking about for spring, right?
Spring, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, spring. And the only reason why I still try it in fall is because I'm out of space mm-hmm. for, I have one container left that I'm dragging my feet. But what is your top crop to grow in spring in a container?
I'd say top crop. Did you say I couldn't say lettuce?
No, of course. You can say whatever you want.
All right, lettuce.
I don't censor you. Hands have down. I ever censored you?
Well, not on the show. The many conversations we have, you know, it's like beep, beep, beep.
The only thing we can't do is call each other jerks on the show. We can do that off the air. Yeah, that's the only thing we can't do. So, yeah. So you like growing lettuce in there?
So there are two reasons. Yes, I like growing lettuce in there. I believe it's ornamental to a degree, right?
Yeah.
I think that lettuce is quick. So maybe there are more than two reasons. It's a quick grower. And I like the idea of, since lettuce doesn't last throughout the summer, like it sometimes quits even before we're at the very end of spring. I can manage it better when I got to pull something up, or if I just want to leave something there. I don't feel like I'm using my real estate in my regular garden beds, you know, waiting for lettuce to finish out, you know. So it can kind of be tucked away in a way.
You know, I hate to do this already, but you were talking about how it's, I can't remember the word you used, decorative, maybe?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For
ornamental,
the lettuce? Yeah. Yeah, ornamental, mm-hmm. ornamental.
Decorative is probably a better word because I do intend most times on eating it, where when we describe ornamental, it's just for the look.
Yeah.
That was so my I'll sexy voice.
So, well, first, I got to tell you a story, but then I'll tell you this first. So, I was kind of thinking when you said that, like, that's your thriller in the pot. Have you ever planted a container for visual and edible purposes, so like a spiller, a thriller, and a filler?
I haven't had very good luck with
damn
it,
I
though.
Thought I was I thought I was groundbreaking.
No.
You haven't had good luck with it?
Well, I think so. My disclaimer for the entire episode is everything that I say hasn't worked well. There are going to be some cases where it's just not a great crop for it, but there are some cases where the gardener loses track of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that I continue to step into the container space because it's like an ongoing challenge. Was it really this veggie didn't belong there? You know, it didn't belong there in the season? Or was it just by my hand that things kind of went askew? So.
Yeah, I can see all that being different cases, scenarios. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I was going to say is when I first started gardening, I went to a nursery, and I was learning how to grow in multiple seasons. And this was when I lived in Massachusetts, and I was going for fall, and I wanted to get some kale.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it, I'm going to go with kale. You can correct me if I'm wrong later. You might know. So anyways, I bought like 8 of these big kale plants in gallon containers, and I go up there. And I was like, yeah, do you know what the grow time was like, talking to them? You know, because I would always ask before I learned when I was at the garden centers, like, you know, the grow time, what I should do, this, that, and the other. And she was like, at some point, she said, well, what are you going to do with them? And I was like, well, we're going to cook them. And she was like, child, these are ornamental kales. You can't eat these. Dude, you want to talk about embarrassed? My wife was like, just leave the cart. Let's leave now. Just walk out. It was so bad. So I didn't even know that such a thing existed. But when you grow your lettuce, what size containers do you see work best for you?
So I don't have a firm answer. Like, I'm not settled in that. This year, and I attempted this maybe last year or the year before and just didn't come together. What I like to do is use like 1 to 2 gallon pots, or in my case, buckets. That's what I would like to do. It hasn't always come together. And I look at those as almost like single harvest. So again, remember I said, you know, you can basically move a bucket around, move a container around. Like, you don't have to be worried about it. It doesn't have to stay in your garden that entire time. That's one of the benefits of the smaller containers. What I end up doing is it's more of my larger containers for lettuce. So, you know, it ends up being something like 10 or 15 size gallons, like somewhere in between there. The great thing about lettuce is if you get one lettuce plant, you could almost plant it in anything.
Yeah, you really can. I mean, the roots don't get that big.
Mm-hmm. And we know that lettuce, like some of the other veggies we'll talk about, you can harvest it at any state. You could harvest it at the baby lettuce state that young Ben loves.
Ugh. You like pushing my buttons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So my favorite has changed as of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I typically had grown a certain thing, and I will mention it later in the show, but my new favorite, believe it or not, is a radish. I grew radishes in pot for the first time this year. Just, you know, trying to stay along with like crop rotation, stuff like that in the container. And I put them in there and I just let them grow. Man, I got the biggest radishes I've ever gotten in my life. It was the early scarlet globe radish, which is the same one we have in our store on Etsy, link below. And that's one of the reasons why I picked that one, because I think when we were picking seeds, but he was like, I don't care about radishes you pick. And I love to grow radishes. I think they're easy, quick crops to grow. But when I pulled it out, I mean, it was like, I don't know how to give you, it was almost the size of your cell phone. Almost, maybe like half of your cell phone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was way bigger than I had anticipated. I think the reason why is, first of all, I gave it a little bit more space.
Mm-hmm.
But because I planted it in the container, I could give the seed more. You know, it was easier for me to like visually see how much space I was putting in. And I could control. So I didn't do a whole lot of watering in it because this was in the fall. But the other container that I have empty is actually 4 radishes as well. But the container didn't have to be watered as much. And I think that just kind of just created this perfect storm in it. But like I use, and you know, the size of pots that I have now, I've graduated. Last year I tried to do stuff in like gallon pots, and a lot of things did not work well. My thought process just wasn't there. So what I did is I found some like the big tree pots that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
I found them on the side of the road, and that's what I used. And it just, I got a full harvest out of them, and I wasn't and also was able to like pull the big ones, leave the other ones behind just like normal, but it wasn't taking up valuable space in my garden. So it worked out really good. So that is, as of right now, that has become my favorite, and I want to continue to do that next year. And I may, as we get into the next seasons where we can plant these, I may just put all of my radishes in pots next year and just see how that works for me. So that was really fun. Yeah, I'll stick with fun.
I'm glad to hear that. The early, and I absolutely said, you know, I don't care about which radish you select, but early scallop is one that I've, early scarlet is one that I've grown. I've grown it in the fall and had great success with like true, like I think it's something like 25 or 29 days or something it quotes, like that actually coming to, you know, fruition. So I was super impressed by that. I actually have an aversion of a garden plan for this year, radishes in a container. And my logic there was it's a quick turn. Right. You know, so it's a quick turn. It's not a hungry vegetable. So I could get that container worked up for the season, get those radishes in, harvest them, and basically get ready to plant for summer in that same container. Yeah. So it's a pretty good selection. Favorite? I mean, you're really pushing it for me. I'm not going to flip here. But, you know, obviously I accept it as your favorite.
It wouldn't have been my favorite until I pulled out that giant radish. And I was like, holy crap. Four, like when I would be taking 10 for a meal, now I'm taking 4. That kind of changed my mind. Now, I'm sure I could get the same results out of my. Well, let me rephrase that. Thinking about a container and the fact that a container can warm more significantly faster than a raised bed or in ground, that may have helped push that growth sooner too. So there could be that aspect of it. Okay. So there's a lot of moving parts to it, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I guess my reasoning is it was just fun for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun to see like, wow, I can get like a really big radish out of here. And that's not usually my purpose, but it wasn't real woody or anything like that. It just tasted like a radish. It
wasn't too spicy.
Mm-mm. Yeah. No, I haven't gotten a lot of spicy radishes this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's everything to do with timing for me. So I'll add radish to the list.
You know. Okay.
So my next one is, and I know you're going to love this, and that's pure sarcasm for anyone that's new here. Potatoes.
Just one of your favorites.
So it's one of my favorites. It's a love-hate relationship.
I was going to say.
Right, you know. So let's be realistic. In containers, I kind of, in my mind, I may not always say it out loud. I'm trying to adjust my volume here, and I feel like I'm yelling. I'm going to my computer to turn my voice down. but love-hate relationship, I almost consider it as a throwaway, like, if they do well, they do well. If not, you know. Now, I harvest my potatoes typically pretty late, but they're planted in the spring, so I'm going to load them in to the spring as a, you know, spring planted crop, as a spring favorite in containers. I think that you control what goes into the container. That's one of probably the asterisks around, like, cautions around potatoes, you know, making sure you have the right mix, making sure that you're managing feeding, fertilizing those potatoes adequately. I think that they are maybe a little bit more difficult for that purpose. It's such an easier way to harvest compared to growing anywhere else in ground or raised beds.
You know why I don't like growing potatoes in containers? I'm going to tell you why, because I've seen the images of people pulling up containers that are just, there's no dirt. It's just taters at that point. And I've never had that experience. And I think it was just such a personal letdown for me because that's my expectation that I just don't really want to do it. Plus, for the way that I'm gardening now, it fits my style to put them in the bed, but I can see the draw to it. What size container do you use for them?
Great question.
I'm going to ask this for everyone, so just be prepared.
Oh, good night. I'll answer it for some. That's all I can commit to. See all these boundaries I'm putting out there? So I've tried it from as small as 5 gallons to as large as 20 gallons. And I think for the smallest 10 gallons, I'm struggling to see if there's great value in growing them in 20 gallons. I said, I think the sweet spot is 10. Did I say that out loud?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think the sweet spot is 10. 15 would be nice as well. This is one of the notes around, it could be the gardener. So, you know, the way potatoes grow, you would think more space, the better. I think that maybe it's a little bit more difficult for me to keep both that larger container watered and fed. So that's why I've had kind of less than desirable results harvesting from the largest container I've grown in.
Right.
So 10, 15 has been ish, 15-ish has been a sweet spot for me.
So my containers that I'm using are all 25 gallon. Mm-hmm. I just looked it up. But I will, throughout this conversation, go into other sizes that I've used in the past for reference. Mm-hmm. And I will also at some point say at the end, I'll tell you why I use the 25 gallon containers. So, you know, with a 25 gallon container, it may be worth it to try just to get more space. But, you know, last year I grew a raised bed and my son had a raised bed, and combined, I think we ended up with 40 pounds of potatoes, mm-hmm. which was able to last us all the way until fall. And once I, you know, really wrap my head around how long that crop will last in our house, that kind of drove me into how I want to grow them in the future. So that's why I don't really like to, and same with sweet potatoes. But you know, we're here to talk about spring, so we'll save that for a better day.
I think a part of the, one of the things I love about containers is they come in so many different sizes, mm-hmm. right? And you can, you know, kind of get them snuggled into various spaces. And I've seen even the 100-gallon, like, kind of grow bag, which mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to the grow bag in a moment. But I've seen that, and it's like, you know, the square footage that would have to sit on, you know, if it becomes a problem for me in my space, right? You know, I don't have that much just, like, flat out real estate, if that makes sense. So I think that that's something to consider when you're thinking about especially getting those larger size containers. The jury is still out on kind of a more hard container versus a grow bag. I think that some of the benefits that I'm a fan of grow bags. I don't know if I've officially said that I'm a fan of grow bags, but I think it's very particular about what grows well in there. And I think it's primarily tied to how that soil dries out and the additional work it takes to keep that soil moist, no matter what you're growing. So, you know, I'm still toying around with it. To be quite frank, if I knew what I knew now, and somehow I looked up and all of my grow bags had disappeared, right? You know, I wouldn't repurchase every single one of them as far as the sizes and the quantities. You know, right now I'm using them because they hold soil and I've already made the purchase, you know. And that's not blanketly, you know, but I'm using as many as I am because I can find, again, a space to snuggle that container into. And, you know, if it's not there, it's going to be sitting in my garage somewhere. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, that's part of what I don't like about container gardening, though, is the different various sizes and stuff like that. And part of the issues I've gotten in the past is it can be very overwhelming to have, you know, gallon containers, 5 gallons, 10 gallons, 2 gallons, you know, spread out, and then the watering needs for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I don't like about it. Now, since I've moved to only having, and this will be my plan as of right now, is this is all I've got for my containers is like 8 25-gallon pots. If I come up with more, if I find more, then fine. But if not, fine. I like the way it looks. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I like planting different things in them. For instance, what was my favorite and is still one of my tops is cabbage. I like growing cabbage in a container. I've grown them in 5 gallons before. They do great. I did them in a gallon last year. And one thing about a container that a lot of people don't realize, and I know we've said this before, but if you set it directly on the ground, the roots, if they need to, they can get down into the ground and mm-hmm. continue to grow. The only problem is you've got the little drainage holes that they're funneling through. Mm-hmm. So it's not as effective. You know, if you had like a perennial crop or something like that, it would work out a lot better. But I'm growing them in the 25. I have three left over from last year in the 25-gallon pot. And then I started two more 25-gallon pots with two cabbages in each pot because I want to see the difference in the growth in them, you know, if I can get a decent harvest. That's one thing I like about the bigger containers is it's one space, but you can put more in it, mm-hmm. you know. So I can put more of, you know, cabbage in there or whatever other, you know, and some of them you can't put two in. But in this time of year, a lot of times if you have a big container, you can squeeze more than one in. You can squeeze multiple crops in, which we'll talk a little bit about at the end. But I think that kind of works for me. But the thing is, when I put them in the 25-gallon pot this year, those cabbages have all the space they need. Mm-hmm. They can take up that whole container, and they can even go over the edge of that container if they need to, which, by the way, they're not at this point. But if that was something that was needed, it is a possibility.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting concept. And the thing is, controlling the fertilizer in it, for me, works out really good because I started a bed recently that has lettuce and rutabaga in it, which have totally different fertilizer needs, meaning I don't need to give the rutabaga as much nitrogen. So if I give it too much nitrogen, I won't get round roots. I'll get pointy, mm-hmm. long roots. Mm-hmm. And so balancing that may be a little bit difficult, but I'm willing to take that on. But in the container, I could do something like that where I put, you know, one nitrogen hungry crop in one, and then the next one, maybe not, and so on and so forth. So I could do something like that. And I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I want to take a beat here. And again, this is not necessarily my confession, but more for the listener. Be careful to write something off, you know, too soon. Be careful of doing that, right? So I've never had success growing cabbage in containers.
Really?
Never, no. I've seen beautiful heads of cabbage be grown in containers. And so without seeing that, I may be inclined to say this is just not a crop that does well in containers. I believe the trouble I've had is a combination of planting time. Now, we know I can plant cabbage in my regular beds late, right? Planting time, variety, and it comes back to how well of a job do I do, primarily with keeping things watered when it comes to cabbage. So I could, if all goes well, I'll have a lot of cabbage starts. And it's going to be my intention to, you know, use some of my containers to occupy those cabbage plants. And it's one of those things where I'm going to be a bit more intentional this year to see how they grow. I have a few different varieties that I'm trying as well, you know, so I could have stopped growing them in containers a couple of years ago based on my own experience. But I can see that they can be successful in containers. And that's actually a crop I'd love for that to be my favorite in containers, just based on the time it takes. And it's a single, you know, harvest crop in most cases. We know about the side shoots, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so most cases a single harvest crop. So I like the idea because mine have gotten large in the past of being, again, it's tucked away into this one little, you know, container here versus covering a big part of my bed. So I'm going to do both this year. There are going to be some, you know, in raised beds, but some in containers as well.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing about containers too, size does matter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I will say this. I have in my garden, I've got that cattle panel. And you know how I built that like 1 foot across bed to just kind of put it in? I have grown plants in there that do not grow well. And I really and truly do believe that it is just not enough room for the roots to grow. And the reason why I bring that up, even though it's not really a container, it's the same idea because it's really restricted. Last spring, I had great peas. I mean, they were 7 feet tall coming out of that side. And then I go and I put pumpkins over there and nothing. I went and put tomatoes over there and nothing. You know, well, I mean, they grew, but they struggled. And so my thought process this year is after like sitting back and just really looking at it, and it's like, well, what grew and what didn't grow and why? And it's like, okay, well, maybe it's got something to do with the root space. And it's the same with the container. Like, yeah, a gallon container will hold soil, but it won't necessarily, it may not necessarily hold enough for the crop. And so we got to be really careful. And that's why one of the reasons why I switched to the 25 gallon is because I basically don't have to worry about root size. The only thing I really need to worry about would be like overwatering them because they just stay saturated. But even then, they're free draining. They have drainage holes, so it's not as big of a deal, but it is an issue. So there is that aspect to look for.
This is a perfect time for a public service announcement. So a lot of our containers, if they're truly like a planter, they'll come with drainage holes. They still may not be large enough, you know, or the quantity mm-hmm. may not be enough for what we're really trying to do and grow in. So you may be thinking, well, as a default, just go bigger the better. But you just cover it off on, if you're, remember I've said over and over, well, maybe I haven't kept it watered enough, right? You know, so now let's talk about a bigger container, 25, 30 gallon container. That's a lot of soil to be watered and stay wet, you know? And so we know that no matter how many holes you add, drainage is not the same for a container as a well-drained raised bed or well-drained in-ground garden space, right? Those two are going to drain better than containers most times. So that's something to consider when you're, what you're growing there and how it manages with having wet feet, you know, how often you're watering it, how, you know, the tops of, just like your garden beds, the tops of your containers are going to be dry first. But you're still doing your, put your fingers in the soil to see if the rest of that container is still bone dry or pretty dry or whatever have you. So those things you have to consider when it comes to size, what you're planting, how often you're watering. There's also this piece, and I want to spend just a minute. Leonard Timey, on that comparison you did, I saw your video. So on Setty Bottom Homestead, there is a video where Young Ben talks about what he's planting for March. So I saw this. So as soon as you talked about that little space, I knew this is the space you were talking about because you were talking about it in the video.
Oh, okay.
Of it in the podcast, I knew that that was the connection. And I'm not convinced either of us have diagnosed what's happening in those spaces, right? But I'm adding my evidence to your evidence. So remember my lovely, you know, like 1.5 feet beds that are inside the trellis. Mm-hmm. And I've had success growing cabbage there. I'm growing garlic there now. I've had success growing other brassicas. My tomatoes have struggled, right? So I've equated it to the soil makeup. You know, but it could be like you're describing when you look at a container, does it have enough room to, you know, and enough soil to get what it needs from for those plants? There's also the search for nutrients, you know, so it's not just a big root system. When you look at any container, tying it back together, you know, what's that soil makeup? And does that, when that plant hunts, for nutrients, like, is it coming up dry? No pun intended. So all of these things matter, and a lot of it's trial and error.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, it takes time to kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. I do know that in, you know, my experience, when I grew mostly in 5 gallon buckets, I definitely find that 5 to 10 gallons is really a sweet spot, you know, as far as like enough root space. Now, watering needs and stuff like that can be a little bit more difficult. But the benefit too of using these bigger pots this year is I haven't really watered them much. Like, we get a good soaking rain and it seems to be enough. Like, I haven't had any wilting or anything like that. So the issue could be like covering them as we try to plant earlier. And that can be an issue because it's harder to cover individual pots and keep whatever you're covering off of the foliage of the plant. So that could be a complicated aspect, but I'm sure there's ways to work around everything. You just kind of got to, you know, figure it out. So what's your next one?
I'm just going to steal here because I'm going to say herbs that grow in the spring. So, you know, cilantro, you know, probably anything besides basil, which doesn't do well in the cooler temps. Right. Parsley, you know, some of these plants will grow throughout the entire season. So they're not necessarily spring crops. You know, we know some of these herbs are invasive, so putting them in a container really does well. I think also when you think about whenever you're finished with that crop, whether it's, you know, at the end of spring, going into summer, or at the end of the entire growing season, it's a you could pull that container somewhere. I've pulled, which I don't know that I recommend yet, I've pulled a 10-gallon grow bag into my home in the fall, and I planted it out in the spring, right? Yeah. And still got, because we get cold here in Chicago. So while, you know, some of those herbs will bounce back that next year, they're not going to last throughout the winter. So I'll get a little bit of life out of those herbs, a little bit more harvest time. So again, not necessarily recommending that, but it's a thought. So, you know, I think there are a handful, if not more, of herbs that do really well in containers. You can get some of that, you know, spiller effect. It's a great way to kind of create a display, you know. I'd plant, you know, things that have similar kind of death times. I know that seems dark. So like lettuce and an herb sounds good, but at some point you're going to have to pull that lettuce and you're going to have a hole in your container. Can you fill that with something else? Maybe, maybe not. So yeah, it's, you know, the evolvement of me when it comes to herbs is pretty impressive.
This is where the timing aspect comes into play pretty hard, though. You know, if you're concerned about having gaps and stuff like that, mm-hmm. I used to be concerned about that, but I've kind of just gotten to the point where I expect it. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I know that it's going to happen and it'll change. But, you know, timing wise, cilantro for me is really good. I mean, last year, I forgot to plant my cilantro this year. I'm ashamed of myself. But last year, I had cilantro plants that were like 3 feet tall. And I mean, I couldn't eat them. I couldn't even give it. I have people come over and just be like, here, take all you need. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I cut the plant all the way down from 3 feet to like 2 inches. And in a couple weeks, it was just right back to where it was almost. It was totally insane. So, and I mean, you know how I feel about herbs. I think they're great for pots because you can do, you know, an Italian herb pot. You can do a Cajun herb pot and get all those flavors all mixed into one. So you just go out and harvest the whole thing. So I think that's a cool one to do. I'm actually kind of jealous I didn't come up with that because that wasn't on my list. Not
well,
gonna lie.
You know, one, it's not on your list, which I'm disappointed by. Two, I don't feel bad now because I felt like you probably had two or three or a dozen herbs on there. So good to get it out there, though, for the people.
So my last one is going to be broccoli. I really like growing broccoli in a pot. It's very easy. It's very clean, meaning like it doesn't get out of control. You can really control it. The only downside is you get one head of broccoli, but at the same time, we're talking about a time where you may be squeezing in whatever you can wherever, and it's a really good addition to it. You could factor in cauliflower too if you are into that kind of stuff, but I've had really good results with that. And the other part of it is you can go in and plant broccoli and then put like a ring of radishes or something small and quick around it, pull those out and still have your broccoli growing and finish it out. And by the time you would pull those other, you know, those other plants out, that broccoli would have all the space it needs to fill that pot. So that's one that I really do like. And the only reason why I didn't do it this year is just because I'm doing like a crop rotation within my containers.
So I, again, haven't had success. I've tried broccoli, cauliflower. I've tried collards, too, in containers in the spring. And if I went back to look at the videos, I'm pretty sure they were pretty small containers. And I absolutely own that. I think it's absolutely the gardener when it comes to the success I haven't had. And I think that those broccolis and cauliflowers are really great. Again, single harvest crops, and those two in particular grow more upright than something like a cabbage that spreads, it grows a little bit wider. So your idea of adding some smaller things around it, like radishes, is a really good one. Add a little bit of interest, you know, when you look at something growing, you know, by the time you get those cauliflower plants and the broccoli plants kind of really up, you've probably already harvested those radishes even.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it takes, if you planted them all around the same time, you would be, I mean, you could almost do like two sowings of radishes in there. You know, you'd be pushing it, but you could technically do that. So it's just a little design thing to it. I do want to say this though, cause you said something about a public service announcement earlier. Same thing here. If you need help planting your containers, dude, the Planter app has got it covered. You can make in the Planter app spaces for containers. It's pretty cool. So what I do is I'll make like a box of the 4 square feet because mine are bigger. And then you go in and you can put a little circle in to denote that it is a container. Mm-hmm. And within my 4 blocks, I put in 4 square foot containers, and that way I can visually see it. So it's a great way to plan an entire container garden. It's not just meant for your gardens and your raised beds and in-ground beds. You can also do containers and keep track of everything. It'll even tell you the companions that you go in there. So it's the same aspect. It gives you the red dots, the green dots, companions, and combative plantings. It's just great for planting and planning, not planting. Planter app, if you could come out and plant my garden, I would appreciate it. Thank you. But there's a link below that'll give you a discount on all the subscriptions. So check that out. Get yourself planning your garden so you can be more efficient in it, and then keep up with your crop rotations and your companion plantings if you feel the need to do so. It's available on the Google and Apple store, and you can use it on your PC, tablets, phones, whatever. So you can use it in all those different places. And I've even done a couple videos on my YouTube channel where I was planning my garden with it. So you can check that out in the lives. And I will do those more in the future. But thank you very much for being a sponsor of the show. And we hope that you will find good use of it in planning your garden this year for all seasons. Ding, ding, ding. All right. So, I want to leave it right there because I think we've given plenty of good crops to grow. And I'm operating, just so everybody knows, I don't see Batavia's video, so I don't get any visual cues. So hopefully we won't step on each other too much. But as far as the big containers go, I started switching over to those for the watering purposes in the summertime. And the way it's worked for me basically is I don't have to water as much, but I have to water them more in the, or less in the winter and more in the summer. So it kind of works out pretty good. Okay, so we've talked a lot about all the containers and planting growing. I think we've given enough. That's plenty to get started. I do want to just take a second and talk about the big containers that I'm using. The reason why I switched over to them is because in the summertime, I don't have to water as much. And it turns out in the wintertime, I really only have to water them like maybe 2 or 3 times. So that's really worked out well for me. Just as we move forward, I'm going to keep checking more and more. The only issue I have with them is I have to invest in a dolly to move them around. they weigh a couple hundred pounds, I'm sure. So, you know, there is that aspect of it. But I know a lot of people use all kinds of containers, and the container army is very strong. So we know that. So, you know, bless you guys for all that stuff. I do want to take a second to, before we get into the Spotify question today, which is a good one. I haven't told Batavia yet. She hates that. Eyes rolling and everything. Mm-hmm. About decorating with vegetables in pots. We touched on that in the beginning, and I was thinking about it a little bit as we were speaking. What do you think about that? Like, what's a combination you may use in order to decorate with a larger pot?
I may have gotten a little teary-eyed. so I am a firm believer of flowers and vegetables. You know, I've become a firm believer of vegetables and herbs. So, you know, it's that, you know, what is it again? thriller, spiller.
Spiller, thriller, and filler.
Mm-hmm. And so I am one of my favorite flowers, not to be connected with, you know, some of the controversy around a certain tomato, are snapdragons, right? You know, and so they grow pretty tall. Almost all of the varieties I've come across, there are a bunch of varieties. And so that is something in my garden that can last throughout the season. So I love having that as kind of a centerpiece. You know, I love the kind of ornamental spikes, you know, as a centerpiece and then planting around them. I think that they're it's quickly satisfying, meaning you can, in a lot of cases, start planting in containers before your beds are ready to be planted in. You know, when the spring in particular, because again, I heard you say in a recent video, like, you're okay with your garden being green, you know, and I believe that at the beginning, there's a lot of life in that. And I'm just like, yeah. And then it's like, I need color. And so being able to use containers as decorations with food and, you know, other things combined, it's a win for me.
I think if I was going to do it, and let's say you wanted some color for my spiller, I would probably use cilantro. For my filler, I would probably use radishes, because you would, you know, if you had your soil filled up to the top, you would start to see a little bit of red. And then my thriller, I would probably use like a rainbow chard or something like that. Mm-hmm. And get those. Because the thing is, you know, yeah, I do like the color green in my garden. I was referring to the new GMO tomato. But I do like that. But different shades of green can really be an amazing thing. And then you just throw on the splash of red. So I think that'd be pretty cool. And the other thing about the cilantro is when it starts to bolt in the spring, you know, you'll start to get those flowers and give you a little bit of contrast. Mm-hmm. It'd just be fun to do. So maybe you'll play around with that this year. I don't know. I have to think about it a little bit more and see if I can make like decorative pots for this time, you know, for the seasons. So, yeah.
And the cool thing about those plants that you know inevitably will bolt, you know.
Yeah.
For me, in my garden, mustards are always going to bolt. You know, cilantro, you know, they put on like a show, right? You know, and so you have those different stages of the plant, which creates a different level of interest. And remember, they're in a container. So if you're over it, if it becomes a little bit more, you know, intrusive, you know, based on some of the sizes, again, get your dolly and move your 80-pound container like young Ben does out of the way. I think that that's a pretty cool view. Forward hook chard is a good one because it gets a lot of height. You know, it isn't as pretty as the rainbow, which is one of my favorite chards to look at. And it's a little bit more mild, I think, than some of the other varieties of chard. So yeah, and I think that the idea of adding radishes again works because you'll be able to pull those radishes and give some of the other stuff in that container a little bit more space. One other note I'm just going to add as a spiller, nasturtiums, hard stop. You know, so putting those around the edge of a container.
I can't grow nasturtiums.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's for them.
I've never had luck, so
that's for Leonard and everyone else.
That's for, you're falling on dead ears on that one if you're talking to me. But you can talk to everybody else about it.
As I was, right.
So since Batavia is talking to everybody else and not me, I think it's time for us to move on to the Spotify question of the day. So the question of the day, we have two that are good candidates, and I want to give you the option. Either way, we're going to answer both of them at some point. The next one will be the next show. But do you want to ask answer a funny, silly question or a serious question?
Funny, silly.
I knew you'd say that. So Kaylee asks, if it could exist naturally, what would your dream vegetable be? Mine would be a bright pink carrot with fluffy leaves. Isn't that fun?
A bright
pink carrot with fluffy leaves.
Fluffy leaves. Oh, you have to answer that one first.
Why I got to go first?
I don't know. You've been sitting on that question, so you've had some time for it to marinate.
Yeah, I've been sitting on it for a total of 5 minutes. You know, that's so what I would figure out would be what my favorite vegetable to grow is, and that would be sweet potato. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, and mostly it's just because I'm looking at sweet potato slip starting. So it'd be a sweet potato with purple leaves, but the flowers are very large. So if they would bloom profusely the whole time. So that would be in the vines would be more of an upright spilling vine. I think that would be one of my favorite things.
Okay. So mine would be potatoes. And it would be from a single seed potato. It would produce multiple colored potatoes underneath the soil. And then the leaves would grow as most of the potato leaves grow, but they'd be edible. That's it. I'm pretty simple.
That is pretty simple, except for your rainbow colored potatoes.
Yeah, yeah. And a guarantee would be they'd produce flowers. Sometimes potatoes produce flowers, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. I've never seen a potato. Actually, I take that back. I have. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about the flesh of my sweet potato. Mm-hmm. It feels sacrilegious to go across to change the color of the flesh, so I'm not going to do that.
And hey, Kaylee, Ben never gives me a chance, so there it is.
So, Kaylee, thank you very much. That was a fun question.
Yeah, I love the naturally occurring. We appreciate that.
Yeah. If you guys have another question, and look, if you wanted it to be a silly, fun question you want us to answer, send it our way. You can do it through Spotify. You can do it through Backyard Gardens, Community Garden on Facebook, any way you want. We are now going to change it from Spotify question to just question of the day. So put in, if you want us to answer it on air, write question of the day. And we're going to try and find somewhere better to kind of consolidate all these, but we're working on it. So just give us a break.
QOTD.
Oh, see, I won't remember that. Mm-hmm. I'll be like, what are they trying to say? I can't get all of the abbreviations down for texting and stuff. What is it? R-O...
Rolling on the floor laughing?
R-O-F-L. Yeah, yeah. Every time I see that, I think it's like they misspelled a word.
It's like 10 years ago, too, but
okay. I know. But see, and the reason why people may appreciate it, if you go and you look up stuff for gardening, a lot of times you'll get like really old like chat rooms or forums, and you'll see R-O-F-L all the time. So, but you know what the good thing is? The knowledge doesn't really change. Yep. So you can look at something from 15 years ago and it just applies to right now. The only bad thing about this question is, guess what? There's going to be a GMO seed come out next year with rainbow colored potatoes, and it's going to be your fault, Batavia.
No, Kaylee's developing it. That's what this is, the tester. She's
a mole.
Yeah, she wanted to put that out there to the world. And I actually signed me up for the naturally occurring, you know, carrot that has furry leaves. Fluffy. And that's pink.
Pink carrot with fluffy leaves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm somehow thinking about Las Vegas and like, you know, like the costumes,
the dancing
there.
Girls and stuff.
Yeah. A flamingo kind of. Yeah. I'm down for it.
Look, if it's natural, I'll grow it. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. I tried to grow a purple carrot and it didn't work out well, so I have to rethink that. It was Rudy. Good night. It had so many little like hair roots coming out. It was terrible. Terrible. And then I read that it was grown in India and it was meant for... Yeah, it just didn't work out well.
Triple digits, always, yeah.
Always triple digits, yeah. So where basically the roots would grow and then they would just singe as they grew. And that's probably how you got your carrot. But so thank you, everybody. Don't forget, you can check out our store below for seeds and all the other good stuff. Become a subscriber. All of that. If you want to send us a question, do so. We will be more than happy to hear from you. Our next question will be a serious question, which is very good. Stay tuned for that, and I hope your spring gardens are going well. And remember this: today you accomplished your goal. You were learning to grow, so now you just need to grow for change.
I thought the goal was to listen to us on the Backyard Gardens podcast.
That's part of it.
That's accomplished as well. See ya.
Now you know why people feel like celebrating at harvest time. All over the world, people have feasting and good times when the crops have been gathered in.
Thanks for checking out the show. If you like what we're doing and you'd like to support us, you can become a patron at patreon.com/backyardgardens, or you can be an Apple subscriber, and in both of those, you'll get an extra episode every month. You can also make a one-time PayPal donation with the link below, and you can get all kinds of gardening gear like t-shirts and mugs and cups from the link below at Teespring, and we have an Amazon store which has all the products that we use and recommend in our gardens, and it helps support our show. And we also add to this list periodically, so be sure to check it out periodically to see if there's anything that you need for your garden. Everything that you do, including a like and a subscribe and even a review, will help us learn to grow and grow for change.
See ya.